go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of DadCast. As always, I am JP. He is Nick Martin. Nick, how are you, buddy?
Oh, good.
Real good. I have a sneaky suspicion that you're a little bit more excited about today's episode more than a lot of the others we've done. Not that the others that we've done weren't exciting, but today in particular, I know you're a pretty big fan.
I'm a huge fan. Well, my wife is a huge fan.
Okay.
So there's that.
Well, that's got to be immediately awkward right off the bat. So this should be fun. Today on the podcast, man, we are stoked to have on from the challenge, the man, the myth, the legend, apparently a bigger man than Nick, according to his wife, Mr. Tony Raines. Ooh. How are you, man?
I'm good, fellas. I'm good. How are y'all?
Fantastic, man. Thanks for coming on DadCast. We appreciate it.
Asshole.
What, Nick?
Knock me down a peg.
Oh, all right. Well, you know, that's kind of what I do. You should be used to it by now. You know, it's 2 years running, at least on the show, and in like 10 years in life, but that's neither here nor there. Tony Raines, man, DadCast. We are all about talking about our path, our journey, our adventure in being dads. Sometimes we have guests on the show that, of course, aren't dads. So with that being said, the rite of passage, the very first question we always ask right here on DadCast is, good sir, are you a dad?
I am a dad. Confirmed.
Nice. How many kids you got?
I'm a dad times two.
Times two. Is that one of them just walking around the corner?
She would be a grown. That would not be a child.
Babe. Okay. I couldn't, it was real quick. I couldn't tell. All I saw was a flash of long hair and,
they caught you in the shot.
Sorry.
Oh, it's all good. Have her come on, say hello. Right on. So tell us, how old are your kids? How many of them? All that good stuff.
So yeah, I got two beautiful little baby girls, angels. Well, I say baby girls, they're my big girls now, 5 and 6. And actually we have a birthday coming up on Sunday and my 5-year-old is going to be 6.
Oh, so, man. And awesome. You couldn't have worded it.
I told her, I said, look, we're not going to have a birthday for you this year. We're going to skip it. She said, what? I said, yeah, because, I don't want you to get any older. I want you to stay 5 forever. This is like a perfect age, man.
Yes,
I know.
It's great. But yeah, they're 5 and 6 years old. And this is, yeah, it's a really good age. It's been fun.
It's amazing. My youngest, my baby girl, my little angel too. She's 9 years old and I'm starting to see those little flashes of what a teenager is going to be like. Cause I got a 17-year-old, almost 18-year-old daughter as well. And I'm trying my best to try to figure out how to avoid all of that when it comes to the little one and let her keep her loving dad like she does now for as long as possible. Because trust me when I tell you, 14 years old hits and all of a sudden they're not your baby girl anymore and they don't want to be. And it's scary and it sucks. And I hate it so much. And you ain't kidding, man. 5, 6, if we could just keep them there forever, it would be amazing. Yeah, but we can't.
It's a real possibility when they hit 14, like they bring boys over, you want to kick some ass. And it's like, you gotta befriend like a 15-year-old guy. That way he can kick the ass for you. So you don't go to jail for that.
That's why I'm lucky.
I need to make note of that. I need to make note of that.
Write that down.
That's good advice. That's good advice.
So my baby girl's got a big brother.
I'm dreading when that time comes, but you know, hopefully I'll be able to practice good self-control and I'll just try to get through it the best way you can. And I'm sure y'all feel the same way. Like you got to try to deal with all those situations that you know are coming up. Like it's going to happen, right?
Oh yeah.
But you want to deal with it in the best way possible to where it doesn't negatively affect your daughter and y'all relationship. And you just want it to be the best it can. Of course, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to mess up. We're going to have to figure it out along the way. But with you got a 17-year-old and you got a 9-year-old. So you kind of went through it with the 17-year-old. So maybe it'd be a little better with the 9-year-old. You kind of got it. hopefully you got a little more.
Yeah, we hope so. But, you know, statistically speaking, all children, even if they're from the same parents and the same upbringing, have different personalities and different ways of handling things and different groups of friends that can influence. There's so many different parameters that could come into effect here that changes everything. So I have no idea. Yes, I have the experience with the older, but will that experience come into play with this one? Because we don't know. We just do not know. And
that's a big reason why we do the podcast too, getting other people's experiences and advice and stuff. Like TJ Lavin had some of the best advice for this specific thing of be on their team, get on the same team.
Always.
Like if you're going against them, it's going to suck.
Yeah. And so, even if it's the hardest thing ever and you disagree fundamentally with whatever that decision is, you need to find a way to navigate on their team. So, you know, if you can psychologically get through that while still delivering the proper message, it's crazy. 5 and 6, man, you got years to go. You're good. We're probably scaring Tony right now. It's like, oh no, what's going to happen?
I'm out.
So what kind of birthday are we having for her? I know we have themed parties, right? She's 5 and 6. She's got to have some kind of party.
Yes, we're doing Pokemon.
Okay.
All right.
Pokemon themed.
What was my late aunt, when she turned 9 in May, it was a Stranger Things party. So,
that's cool.
Yeah,
that's
so cool. She had the whole. In fact, it's November 3rd on the day of this recording, and her birthday's May 31st. I'm not even kidding. The wall laminate thing that we got that has the alphabet and the numbers on it with the lights, it's still in my kitchen. It's still up. It's there.
I still have a dinosaur happy first birthday from Liam from 2 years ago. It's still hanging in the kitchen.
So, Nick.
We actually are kind of like a little setup right
now. Ooh.
That's awesome.
So when is it? You guys are already prepared.
Yeah. That's Sunday, but we're getting ahead of the game.
Sunday. My kids have already torn through that. Oh, it's a party. Let's go. You know,
exactly.
Yeah. And our baby girl, she's seen it already, but she was real good about it. She was actually trying to open one of the presents that we have at the foot of the table right there. But she was well behaved about it. We still got a little bit to go with it. We got to blow up some more balloons and things like that. But yeah, man, we get into the whole theme birthday party thing, and it's fun, man. It's good for kids. I think it's great for them to see their parents really involved like that and to see them. You know, just showing that they care. Isn't that's kind of what it's all about, right? Just showing that you care. I think that goes a long way, and being genuine about it, like knowing, showing that effort. I think that goes, I think it goes a long way.
It goes the distance, man. It shows it.
I've got
a few sayings. It only takes a moment to make a moment. And the overlying theme of almost every single guest that we have that are the good dads, that are the true, genuine part of the life, go the distance dads. That's what it is. It's just, you got to find a way to be there. And it's difficult sometimes with jobs and life and work and whatnot, but that's all you got to do, man. And show them you love them. And easy peasy. It's not hard. It's not hard. I don't know what to say. Nick, I'm going to ask one question, one of the normal ones I normally do. Once we get an answer from Tony, I'm going to give it to you, okay?
I'm not going to hold my breath for that because you haven't shut up yet.
That's why I'm forewarning you. I always tell him that I'm going to get it. Hey, come here, little girl. I want you to meet someone real quick. So she just popped in. This is the 9-year-old. This is Avery. That is Tony Raines. He's a famous guy. He's on MTV's The Challenge, and he's awesome.
Hey, Avery.
He's not just on the challenge. The dude's
Yeah, I know. I ran through his Wikipedia page. I don't have time to list off all those shows.
Good to meet you.
Use your words.
How are you so shy, Avery?
She's every not.
I know. It's like yak, yak, yak every time I see her. And then she comes on the camera. It's like,
all right, I love you. Go inside. Come on. Go inside. Papa's doing his show. All right. So the question is, how old is your oldest again? Did you say 6?
Six.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to take you back about 7 years ago, give or take. And that fateful day, you were informed that you were, in fact, going to become a dad in the very near future. Can you bring us back to that day and the emotions that went through Tony's head that day?
Man, that's a tough question. I remember it was like, oh shit.
Yeah, that's all right. We all did, man. Shit. That's the general.
Shit.
Yep.
Oh, mm-hmm. Shit. And then it's like something clicks, you know, it's like something kicks in and it's like, okay, all right, I gotta be a dad. All right, let's do it. Let's go. All right, we got this. You know, when you're not, and I don't really know how it is when you plan for it, right? Because it wasn't planned, so I don't know what that, you know, it's probably more of a feeling of excitement and like, oh, finally, and you know, this and that. But for me, it was more of like, oh, okay, all right, we got to step up now. We got to do what we got to do.
Yeah.
If I'm being completely honest, going back to that first moment when I found out, that's what it was, man.
Yes. Kind of with me. I didn't believe it at first, personally. I was like, no.
Oh yeah. Oh, well, that too, the disbelief, like,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Cause I was old, you know, I was 36 at the time when I first found, you know, got pregnant, and I was like, nah, you know, this isn't, who are you sleeping with? Cause it's not my kid. You know, how is that even possible? But turns out it was, and it was the greatest gift ever. All right, Nick.
All right. Now I'm just like, wow. Anyway. See, now you threw me, like, now you got me off my
game. Talk the challenge, okay. Man. You know you want it.
All right. So, yeah, I had so many questions. I totally drew a blank. Have you ever noticed that, like, parenthood is actually kind of like being on the challenge? All the obstacles, the everything that you have to go through being a dad is almost as hard as some of the challenge stuff you have to do.
Yeah. You know, people ask me, they say, will you ever do the challenge again? And I'll say, I do the challenge every day. It's called life, because it is a challenge, just with everyday things, such as say you got to stay late at work, you know, the real job, but you got your family at home waiting for you. And that's a challenge right there. That's a give and take. It's a way you got to figure out how to complete this in order to get home on time, or figure out a way to try to spend more time with your family at the same time, working hard and getting to where you need to be, to provide for them and whatnot. There's a lot of parallels, I believe. Kind of jovial about it. I mean, I have challenges with the kids, man. I mean, anytime it kind of drives me crazy, but I gotta appreciate it in the moment. Anytime I try to, like, I'll just do pushups like randomly. And if I do those in the living room and my daughters are around, what do y'all think happens?
She climbs right on your back.
It's a dog pile.
Right on my back.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, no. But yeah, that's a challenge in itself. But it's a challenge in itself just to make that time for them to have that moment with you, man. Because I know growing up, I didn't have a whole lot of those moments. So it's like, I don't want to take that away from my kids. I want to give them that and even more, you know. It's like the other evening, my youngest, Isla, wanted to do airplane. I haven't done airplane in a while. And I was like, because I came home, I've been working like late, long hours. And I was tired. I said, all I want to do is just lay on this floor right here and just go to sleep. As soon as my daughter saw me lay on that ground, she jumped up on the couch and she was like, Dad, put your legs up. Airplane.
Yep. Like,
oh, come on, baby. Oh. Let's do the airplane. I hadn't done airplane in a while. I had to like stretch it out a little bit. but that was a challenge right there. Just like, it was more like a mental challenge. It's like, no, you got to give her this, man, because you're not going to get this again, you know, come years down the road. So, yeah, there's a lot of parallels there, man, and just trying to figure it out, just trying to figure it out and hoping that you're doing the right thing somewhat.
Yeah. So I have six kids. I was like all done with having kids.
No, no, that is incorrect, Nick. That is incorrect. Tell him the truth.
You mean the truth?
You have six kids and one on the way.
Well, yeah, I was getting to that.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I was getting there. So I have six.
Wow.
I had five, and then I got married a few years ago, and my wife didn't have any kids, and she's like, "Let's have a baby," and I'm like, "I'm fixed." This whole experience has been 100% different because like all my other kids weren't planned, and it was like, "Oh shit, I'm having another kid, and what am I gonna do?" So this guy, he was all planned, and it's like way more exciting, and then trying to deal with, you know, I'm more responsible. I own a house. So my financial situation's better now. But like same like you, it's just trying to find that time of, you know, he's got this thing where he wakes up at 5 a.m. and he's like, "Dad, let's go watch Cocomelon," or "Dad, let's go play Cars." And it's like, dude, it's 5 a.m. What the hell? I used to get up and go to the gym at 3, come back at 4:30. I'd be just about back to sleep, and then up with Liam playing Cars, watching Cocomelon. So now it's kind of like our thing. Every morning we get up, we play and kind of do our stuff. And it's really cool to see that connection of, oh yeah, my dad really does appreciate that I'm here and that he's making time for me. And because he knows he can't doing this kind of stuff.
And he may not even know or realize that, my dad's doing this stuff with me. He doesn't know anything else, right? And that's right. That right there is a blessing in itself. Like my kids will never know what it's like not to be loved, you know. They'll never know what it's like not to have. And I think that's great. You know, a lot of people look at that as like, you just don't know how good you got it. I'll never look at it like that. I mean, I think about it, and it's true. Like, you know, you got it really good. You know, you got it really good. But
I wish the kids would realize that.
Yeah. Right. Well, but they can't.
They will one day. I wish they realized it right now, though.
Right. They will when they get older, right, I guess, and they're adults and all that. They'll look back like, oh, man, my dad, he was so good. And I know these other people didn't have it so good and all that. But I don't really honestly even know where I was going with that. But, yeah, that you were saying they'll look back and realize like, oh, yeah, my dad was doing this with me and stuff. I lost where I was going with that, but I had somewhere I was trying to get to a place I couldn't. But
it's all good, buddy. So like my oldest son's 22 and like he's in the military. So it's really cool when he comes to visit and he talks about, "Hey dad, remember when I was 4 or when I was 5 and you did this with me?" It's like, wow. Like, so they do remember all the little things. Like,
yeah,
you know, he remembers times I would take him to the park and we'd play with the ducks and you know, that kind of stuff. And so it's really cool to hear those stories now and then how it resonated with him now as he's becoming, he's 22. So he's kind of going through, man. Got a relationship, thinking about having kids kind of thing. And so.
That's so amazing, man. And six kids unplanned. And then you have the one coming that's planned. And man, I'm excited for you. We're actually kind of looking forward to something like that as well. You know, I want to have one more and we're kind of shooting for that. So, congrats to you, man. And
rooting for team boy, man. You got to complete that set.
Yeah. I don't know how you're handling two girls, man. Like my girls are like so much harder than the boys. Like the boys are super easy, but they're stupid. That's the other. So like my son, my 2-year-old, he is like the dumbest kid I've ever met, but like he'll climb up on shit and jump off it. Like, fucking belly flop on the hardwood floor from like the top of a staircase. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? It's like, they do it on TV, dad. I'm like,
they don't do it on Cocomelon, man. Again, what are you letting your kid watch, man?
I let him watch Bullet to the Head with Jason Momoa and Sylvester Stallone. I'm like, I gotta get him. He's got to start watching other stuff.
Yeah.
So we went from one extreme to the other extreme. It's like he's not happy with like the happy medium, okay for kid toy shows and stuff. So it's like, hey dad, can we watch a really bad movie? Mom's not around. I'm like, fuck yeah.
that's kind of cool, right? That's cool, man.
That's how. I let him watch something with just a ton of bad words, and he quoted it. I'm like, oh shit. He just went off and just like did a whole sentence of whatever. It was like some Vince Vaughn movie. And there's like just F bomb after F bomb. And I'm like, oh my God, you're earmuffs. A smart little
girl. Earmuffs.
Yeah. I was so proud of him. I'm like, I can't be mad at you because you said it in the proper context. You said it the right way.
Here's a fun one that I would like to propose to both of you. I'm not necessarily looking for advice, I don't think, because I think I handled the situation very well. But let me just tell you what went down today. We got my son's first report card for seventh grade. And Sawyer, man, I'm sorry. I know you specifically said do not bring this up on the podcast today. And what did I tell you? This is life, and this is my job, and I'm sorry, but I have to bring it up. It's not to embarrass you.
When they specifically say not to, you're fucking A gonna
bring it up. Yeah, exactly. But so, first report card, seventh grade. I don't think it could have been any worse.
No.
Let's just leave it at that. And one in particular really glaringly caught my eye, PE. He got a C in PE, which, by the way, was the best grade. And I said, how do you get a C in PE, bro? How does this? And I get all these grades and I see the information while he's at school. So I had most of the day to digest this and, you know, work through it in my own head on how I'm going to have this conversation with him when he gets home. And we had a real good talk. Don't need to get into details, but I stressed without yelling and having a man to man. I made it a point to tell him that, you know, this is not your dad yelling at you. This is, we're having a man to man right now. And you need to pay attention and listen. You know, it starts now. Elementary school is over. This is your training for high school, and your high school is your training for life. And I'm not asking you to get straight A's and be the smartest guy in school, but I sure as shit am begging and telling you to not be the dumbest. You know, let's find a happy medium in there somewhere and understand that everything you do now, whether it be a class you're not interested in, it reflects upon everything you do moving forward in life. And I need you to understand that and know that it's so very important. And you need to also know that these grades reflect on me. I feel like I'm doing a bad job as your dad because you're failing in school. I feel like I need to, you know, I'm doing something wrong because you shouldn't be in that position. You're a smart kid, you know, so what are we going to do to fix it? So we have the talk, et cetera, et cetera. I may have bribed him. I said, if you could turn all these around and have straight A's by the end of the next report card, I will give you $50 for every single A. But what needs to happen is every one of these grades needs to be one letter higher. So if you had an F, it needs to be a D. If you had a D, it needs to be a C, so on and so on the next one. Because if they are not, life is going to be changing for you. Your video games and your electronics and your whole schedule and your routine and the way of doing things is going to be different. And now I do not want to press that on you right now. I want you to understand that that's what will happen. And you need to make the choice for yourself to understand, to improve without me enforcing any punishment. You have 6 weeks and left it at that. What's my question for you guys in there? I guess it's, did I handle that all right? In your opinion, would you have handled it differently?
Man, I feel like you were talking to my inner child. I wish somebody would have told me that in seventh grade. I would have done a whole lot better in school. Sometimes kids need to hear that, man. And that's, I think you handled that in the best way possible. I'm going to be completely honest with you. That sounded really, really good, man. It got me motivated. I'm not even in school anymore. It got me wanting to.
I just hope it resonated with him, man, because he's.
And that's all we can. That's all we can do. We can hope that it sets in and it struck the right nerve and he received that message clearly and he takes it serious and it resonates with him. But yeah, everything you just said, man, that was borderline deep, man. That was good.
Thanks.
That was
really good. All right.
Very, very good.
Wasn't trying to go deep there with you guys, but right on.
I'm gonna
make me feel all good and warm and fuzzy. Thank you. All right.
I don't think you could have said anything to get to him any better. I mean, that was straight to the point. And that's messages that I deliver to to my little girls now. You know, sometimes we have to be stern and we have to let them know that, hey, look, this is, we cannot do this because of this. You got to give them, you can't, one thing that always stuck with me, I heard, is that you don't tell a kid they can't do something and not give them a reason why they can't do it. So if I tell you, hey, don't, if I tell you, hey, don't touch that stove. Why, Dad? Because I said so. Never, never right. follow up when I said so. It's, you always give the reason. Hey, don't touch that stove. Why, Dad? Well, because if you touch that stove, it's hot right now. What happened is your skin will melt on your hand.
Yeah.
And it can be very, very, very painful. You know, that parents like to, I mean, in the, I feel like this might be in the past. Like we've, as we've gotten older, as generations have passed, I feel like we have gotten better at parenting or explaining. I think so. But I believe that anyway, as far as like a message getting out there of not just, oh, this is what I said so, or, you know, you just giving them a reason, like leveling with your kids. You know, I was told, and I was, you know, like looking this up and researching and looking into it, when my kids were really, really young, when they were like babies, like 2 or 3, and, you know, you would try to correct them. It was a good practice to like get down on their level.
Yep.
You know, because you see, like being an authoritative figure and you're looking up and look, or you're standing up and like, you know, looking down on them and they see you like this, it's not good. But if you level, it's literally getting on their level, leveling with them, explaining and talking to them right here. I feel like that was a good practice. And it's something that I tried to implement myself. Now, of course, we always slip, right? I mean, everybody slips. Nobody's perfect. Oh my God. I mean,
and that doesn't mean as well as being their friend either. Cause I know a lot of parents struggle with that, you know, and I like to find a common ground there. It's
that's
like
my best friend.
I'm your dad. You are not my friend. And that's not a bad thing, boy. That is not a bad thing. One day when you're a grown ass man, we can go to the bar and have some drinks and be friends. But time is not yet. And crazy stuff. Nick, sorry, you had something.
Yeah, I'm going to just jump back into the challenge. Do you plan on going back on the challenge? Is there anything coming up for you?
I mean, every year, man, every year when there's the opportunity, I'm always trying to figure out a way to get back in the mix and try to figure things out. But I have so much going on back at home. It's really hard to figure that schedule out. And I'm kind of to a point now where if I was to do it, I would have to give up and kind of regress a lot in my personal life back home. I have to give up a lot of things to do that. So it's really hard. Buena Mary MTV, they've all been very, very, very great to me and still reaching out and giving me those opportunities and trying to figure things out. And, you know, CT always said, anytime he was asked about this, I always heard him say, you know, never say never. So I'm not going to say never. It's always a possibility. It's something that I want to badly try to figure out a way to get back on there.
Contact with the other cast members and like how the other parents, I know a lot of them, like CT has kids now. A lot of them have kids now. How do they balance that with, because you guys are gone for what, like 3 months when you're filming the challenge?
Yeah, it could be up to 3 months at a time. And then they usually do like 2 shows a year. And then you got All Stars in the mix. Before that, it was Champs versus Stars. So you got like, if you're kind of legacy, you know, you're basically a shoe-in for all 3 of those shows, you know, 2 regular seasons and All-Star season are what used to be Chance versus Stars. It's really, really tough. But a lot of those guys that do it now, so you look at CT, you look at Darrell, Derek, Corey, a lot of these guys, they've kind of figured out a path to where they could use the challenge as kind of like a catalyst to be in that field, and they were very successful as well. And that doesn't hurt on the show, and have other avenues that they could go down to where it kind of blended and kind of mixed in with doing the show and still being able to, you know, afford the price of living. With me, I'm on a different route. With the show, it was great and all that, but there's things that I came from that I had to lean back on at home that doesn't allow me to have that wiggle room and that freedom within the schedule. to kind of pursue it the way that I would like to pursue it. Especially now that I'm getting older and I got children and all that. Before, it was a little easier to kind of stay where I was at, go do the show, come back and at home, and I'm still kind of where I'm at in that position and that, you know, that place. And it wasn't, it wasn't as taxing on me, but now it's, come on, man, I gotta be mindful. So, for those guys, I hate to say that it's a little bit easier, not trying to like, you know, discount anything those guys do. I know it's hard. It's hard anytime you got to leave your family back home. You know, I've been through it multiple times, but, I think they've just got a better way, or they have now, they've created a path for themselves to where they figured out how to make it a little easier on them to be able to do that. And hats off to them, man. You know, I'm friends with all those guys. I'm big fans of them. And, man, I love them for what they do.
Dude, we got to pitch an idea to like do another challenge, but all the guys that are like married and have kids, bring the families with you.
Yeah, that'll never happen.
Just, you know, the challenge dads episode. All the dads from the challenge come together and try to get their kids to do the dishes. And
the, you know, yeah, you know, no, that, like, you have to cut out the hookups and all the juicy stuff.
I mean, that could work. That could be a good one off.
Kind of
right,
like, I've had this idea to make kind of like a really cool family friendly, almost like a charity challenge kind of thing, where you get a bunch of the guys that are now married, have kids, come back and do a challenge for their favorite charity. But it's family friendly though. There's not all the drinking and the partying and stuff that goes on.
There you have it. Nick, did you put together a fast five today?
I did.
All right. Tony, this is a quick radio segment, little backstory. I work in radio, if you couldn't tell, for many, 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 many years. And we put together this.
Hey, you definitely got a face for it.
Yeah, I know. Thank God I got a voice, though, right? The premise is five fast questions. We did it in radio. It worked real well. We brought it over to here. And Nick gets to do it. So here we go.
All right, if you could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be and why?
If I could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be?
And why? In his Batman voice.
If I could have a billboard, oh my God, I would never have a billboard of myself up there, man. maybe as a joke, it could say, Tony for mayor. I don't know, because I think that would be a kick. No, I would never run for mayor. I think it would be funny to get the town talking. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, man, I've never even thought about having myself up on a billboard.
All right. What's your proudest dad moment?
Oh, man. My proudest dad moment. I wish I could have gave me these before the podcast.
There'd be no fun that way, man.
Yeah, true. My proudest dad moment, man.
This is a tough question, I know, because there's probably so many.
I mean, well, because I got two. I got two. It's one for each, really. It's just, man, it's being there for their birth and being in the room and seeing them for the first time and holding them and being super emotional and knowing it's for real. That's definitely my proudest dad moment. It's just me being there, but I'll never forget those moments. I'll never forget
there that you day. Go doesn't get much better of an answer than that.
Awesome. Yeah. Your funniest parenting fail.
it's hard to even say it's funny, because this one will stick with me forever, man. And I don't know, hopefully y'all can relate. Nick, you probably definitely relate if you got six kids. I'm sure it's happened to you, or you had a close call. So my daughter was maybe 2 years old at the time. And I don't know about y'all, but man, my little girl loves to just get up on the counter. She loves to get up on the counter at that age. She loved it. And sure enough, daddy, she was on the floor crying. Dad, pick me up. I picked her up and she wanted to get on the counter. I sat her on the counter, and guys, I'm not lying. I looked away it wasn't even, I felt like a millisecond.
Right.
And sure enough, boop, she falls off the counter.
Yeah, good thing.
And I was so scared. I was so scared. I don't even think she was two yet. I was so scared. I was like, oh my God. Like, that was a fail for sure. But yeah, she was all good. She was fine. We didn't have to, you know.
They bounce. No, dude. It's
all they bounce, man. They're like malleable. They like
yeah. Yes, and the bones are still bendy at that age. They're it's still okay.
A little soft, and yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, so the reason I asked that question, when my middle kids, I had three that were like within a year of each other, right? And they're all little babies at the time. I had to go to Walmart by myself. So I got two of them in the car after we got done shopping. The infant was in his car seat. I left it in the shopping cart and drove away. And this old lady, as I'm pulling out of my parking space, is hitting my minivan. What are you doing? Your kid's still in the cart. I'm like, oh my God. So yeah, so I've
you're not
I've
alone, done, man. We've all been there.
Terrible stuff.
it happens. It happens. It does. It happens, man. Oh yeah. God.
Yeah. What's your favorite meal to cook for your girls?
Ooh. I mean, I don't know if you would call it a meal, but they definitely love the mac and cheese ready to go bowls.
Oh yeah. Lifesavers, you know right what there.
I'm talking about the kind you peel. You get the little, it's a little cup. Uh-huh. You peel the top off. You put the water in there. Fill it up to the line. You put it in the microwave 3.5 minutes. It always somehow spills over the top. You got to clean your microwave after the fact. And you put the little powdered cheese and stir it up, and boom, man, they love it.
You slice up a hot dog. Slice up a hot dog of that son of a bitch and put a little Tapatio on it. Boom.
I haven't gotten to that point to try that with them yet, but they probably would like it.
Oh yeah.
They probably would like it.
You want to real spoil them. Just slice up the tri-tip you have left over from the night before. And there you go. Tri-tip mac and cheese. Mmm.
Oh yeah.
All right, Nick, five.
Last question. So I became a way bigger Tony fan when you threw bananas under the bus back in the day on that. I can't remember what season it was on, but you stabbed him in the back. And I was like, how did that feel?
That was the Challenge Vendettas.
Yes.
And I created a true vendetta in nobody that moment saw that right coming. There.
Yeah.
Nobody saw it coming, man. It was something that I gave some serious thought to the night of going into elimination. It never going into the season, man. And me and Bananas, we talked about this multiple times. And, you know, I told going into it, it was never pre-planned. It was never, you know, premeditated, nothing like that. It was a situation that presented itself, an opportunity that presented itself. And I thought, man, if I do this, this is a big move, and it's a way to get me to, it's a way to shine me in a different light than I've been shown before.
Right.
Because I was viewed as the guy that was kind of underachieving, kind of ran with the pack, kind of was, you know, the little brother of the crew, you know, the guys liked me and all that, but I was never taken seriously. And I was like, man, well, if I do this now, I'm really making a statement. And I thought back to if people are the Challenge fanatics will look back on this and they'll, you know, maybe they'll know what I'm talking about. I'll remember there was a moment on the Challenge Dirty 30 where I had an opportunity to make some waves and make a big choice when we had a split vote. And it was I had said Derek and Brittany had said Leroy, and then Veronica threw a loop and was like Leroy. And it came down to like a split vote between, I think it was Hunter and Leroy, something like that. And we had a revote, and I actually, and the consequences was TJ said, if y'all keep it this way and it's a split vote, then one of y'all are going into elimination. And I'm sitting there like, oh, I'm not going into elimination. So I changed my vote from Derek to Leroy, like in that moment. Like it was kind of like if you look back on it, it was a bitch move, you know? And I always thought back on that and how that was viewed, and like how my mindset at that time, like I was playing, how we say it might be an overused term, a scared game. And I was playing a scared game. And in that same episode, you'll see Jordan in that moment talk about, he's like, oh yeah, I'm going to just keep my vote the same. Cause what worst is going to happen is I got to do what? Go against Tony. And so me watching that, it kind of stuck with me. And I was just always trying to figure out a way how to get out of, you know, change my image, or, you know, do try to just become better on the show. And aside from working out and taking that, the training aspect really seriously and trying to get my mentality right, I thought this was a perfect opportunity to where, because I was on fire up until that point. And I said, you know what, if I go back on this now, you know, or if I don't make this choice now, you know, it's just like another Dirty 30 moment. This is a real opportunity for me here. And I hate to use Bananas as like a stepping stone or look at him as like an opportunity. But, I felt like it was my time, man. It was Tony time. And I had to pull the trigger, as I said in that moment when I did it. And, you know, there's no hard feelings between me and Bananas now. Man, we got to be really close after Final Reckoning. We still keep in touch with each other. And I think he kind of understands the mentality and the mindset that I was in and the decision that I had to make and, you know, feel like it was justified.
Yeah. I've met him a couple of times. He seems like a pretty solid guy. So
solid. Yeah. Anybody that doesn't like Bananas, it's because Bananas doesn't like them.
I know he needs to have a kid so I can get him on the podcast.
We've been over this. You don't need to be a dad. Let's just get him on, Nick. All right, Tony Raines, man, I'm going to add two more questions to that, and then we're going to let you go because, man, I mean, this is what happens when we have fun, cool, awesome, good guests. The time flies right on by. One not-so-serious question, and the final question, no pressure, but pretty serious, and one of the more important questions I like to ask. So no pressure. First question, who is going to play Tony Raines in the movie version of your life?
Shit. I got to pick somebody that's young enough to do it. If they did, I think Ashton Kutcher could play. He could pull off a good Tony Raines.
There you go. All right. Good answer.
Ashton Kutcher could play. He could pull off a good one.
All right.
Yeah.
If you could impart one piece of wisdom or advice onto any new or soon to be dad, what's it going to be?
Do it even when you don't feel like doing it. You will not regret it.
And there's the billboard, by the way.
There you go.
That's it. That's my words of advice.
There it is. Ladies and gentlemen, for everyone watching worldwide, wherever you may be listening, thank you so much for tuning into Dadcast. That guy down there, at least on my screen, is Mr. Tony Raines, great dad. Man, can I plant a seed? Can we have you on again sometime in the future? Because this was not enough time.
Absolutely.
Cool. And second seed.
Be happy to.
We do a Father's Day episode every single year. We recorded a couple weeks prior to Father's Day. We would love to have you back on for that episode. It's literally like 30, 40 little blocks of all of our celebrity guests we've had on the past year. Obviously, scheduling allow, we'd love to have you back on for that episode.
Yeah, count me in, guys. Yeah, I'll make some time, no doubt.
Yeah, buddy. Nick, got anything else, man?
Oh, man, that's it.
Right on. Well, again, he is Tony Raines. Yeah. Thank you so very much for coming on Dadcast, man. It's been a pleasure. It's been fun. It's been a pleasure meeting you. And thank you.
Thank you, fellas. Appreciate
absolutely. Have a and good again, night. Everyone else watching worldwide, thank you so much. Please like it up, subscribe, comment, do all that social media stuff, and we'll catch you on the very next episode. Have a great rest of your day, night, whatever. See ya.
Needs an alarm in the morning when McDonald's has sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles and a breakfast cutoff. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.